Thank you very much. Glenn, if you would you please do the roll?
Certainly, Paul. We have Paul Dias, Barbara Steele from the Registry constituency, Mike O'Connor from the Business constituency, Kevin Erdman from the IPC, James Bladell from the Registrars, Mike Rodenbach from the Business constituency, and Mike Collins from the Business constituency. And then from staff, we have Marika, Olaf, and myself.
Thank you, Glenn. Yes, and hopefully a couple of others will be joining.
Yes.
Very good. All right, everybody. Well, thank you for being on the call. Thank you very much for taking the time for all our U.S.-based folks, especially before the long holiday weekend. Want to get right into it today. We've had a couple of very, very substantive calls the last few weeks. Focusing on partial bulk transfer terms. One question that we have put out to both our colleagues in registry constituency as well as staff was going to reach out to ICANN Legal was focused on the question of the existing bulk transfer terms. Do they apply to all names under management by a registrar, or are they to be understood to apply to all the names within a particular TLD? So, in other words, if you want to do a, in some of the scenarios we've laid out, if a registrar was no longer going to service a particular TLD, could the existing bulk transfer rules apply since all of those names in that namespace would be transferred? Or is it actually all the names under management? Barbara, you had said that you've reached out to some of your colleagues. Could you please share with us what you found?
I generally thought that that the existing bulk transfer terms would allow for the application of the provision only to domains within a particular TLD, because if you look at the little item 2 there, it just basically indicates that ICANN may approve the transfer of sponsorship of all the registrations as a result of its lack of authorization with a registry operator. So it sounds to me like if a registry operator would have an issue and go to ICANN with that issue, a registrar may be deaccredited only for a particular TLD, and ICANN could authorize a bulk transfer of the domain names specific to that TLD from one registrar to another. So, I mean, that's basically how we're reading it. I don't know if the legal team has gotten back from ICANN or not on that as well.
Olaf here, I can say that concurs pretty much with the, I would say, not still verified answer I got from our legal team, that their impression was that a bulk transfer would be possible if the registrar came anyhow to lack accreditation with a particular registry. So it leaves it a bit in a gray zone. What happens, for example, if the registrar asks to be released from the registry rather than being de-accredited by the registry? So, but in the latter case, it seems, which you refer to as well, Barbara, it seems like that would indeed be possible with a bulk transfer. I still need a confirmation from Dan, though. But that was his first impression.
Okay.
And, I mean, we've actually seen a couple of registrars recently who have gone to ICANN and requested termination of their accreditation, which, you know, I believe that was across the board for all TLDs that they were managing. They decided to just get out of the registrar business altogether. But it seems like they would be able to do that for one or all as well.
Okay.
In case it would be a voluntary situation that ICANN could facilitate for them.
Well, that would simplify our life at least a bit.
Yes. Agreed, Olaf. It would. And in fact, Marika, I hope you're part of those conversations, Olaf, and legal, so that we can, when it comes time to take a whack at some draft language for this section, if we seem to have concurrence, I guess, in some of our scenarios, you know, we can make the argument are already covered under the existing bulk transfer terms. As we discussed last call, it's worth making that explicit so that we have in writing somewhere this finding that will assist registrars and the registrants in the future moving forward.
Couldn't we, Olaf here again, two questions. First of all, Marika, I haven't heard anything more from Dan, but maybe you have. And secondly, well, I suppose we could put it as an assumption that this is the case in our report.
And I haven't heard anything, this is Marika, I haven't heard anything further either. I know that Dan, I think, was going to check with some people internally, so I can follow up with him on that one. But in the meantime, I'm happy to include that in draft language, and, you know, if it's different, we can still make that change once we get the final confirmation.
Does that make sense to everybody else on the call, that we would, make this assumption, put it into our draft, leave time for... any updates that are necessary because legal comes back with a clarification, but proceeding this way just seemed like the right thing to do for the group.
This is Mikey.
Go ahead, Mikey.
I think it's a great idea. I think it might even help legal if we did a tentative draft, because then they could take a look at some precise language and it might give them something even more substantial to work on.
Okay, good. All right, so then if, depending where it's safe for you all, probably an email, the scenarios that we've listed, I think we're up to five now. if refresh people's memory, or better yet, if you can pull it up so that you're looking at what we have, just to make sure that we're all in agreement on which of these scenarios we feel now are already covered under the existing bulk transfer policy. Our first scenario, we're talking about a partial transfer following the accreditation of a reseller. We flesh out saying a reseller becomes an accredited registrar, may decide to become a e-registrar of record for those domains for which it has been accredited.
This is Barbara. Some of the conversation, because there was actually some feedback that I received relating to some of the various scenarios as well, was why, I guess, if registrars, between the two registrars involved, if we actually need to get into all the various scenarios, because if at the end of the day, if Registrar A agrees that a set of domain names should be transferred to Registrar B, and certain other criteria is met, whether it be a notification to go to registrants, notifying them of the change or what have you, and there's agreement all around that this should occur, it just seems like they would be able to go to the registries to facilitate that.
Okay, what do folks think of that position?
This is Mikey.
Yeah, Mikey.
Barbara, I guess the question I've got is, would it be a bulk transfer or would it be a partial bulk at that point?
Well, I think it would be a partial bulk transfer. They would have to provide a list of the domain names that they're looking for to be transferred, and both of the registrars would need to be in agreement that those names could indeed, that should be transferred from one registrar to the other.
Now, is that the same as scenario one? That seems like a subset scenario rather than a scenario one where it's all the names.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, the registries aren't recognizing the reseller in any way, shape, or form. The registrar of record for the domain names would be the accredited registrar that has the relationship with the reseller. If the reseller then becomes accredited, they now are an accredited registrar, and I would suspect that they have some sort of a written agreement with the former accredited registrar that would dictate under what circumstances they would be willing to transfer their portfolio of names, because there has to be something, I would think, within the registrar records database to indicate that these are domains that are under the management of the reseller, if you will, right?
As you lay that out, this is Mikey again, sort of from the consumer standpoint, what makes me nervous is not having any ICANN standards surrounding that, and or associate, you know, so now we're dependent on a whole bunch of contracts that might be good or might be bad or might have errors in them or something. And, you know, my perennial fear is that somewhere in the shuffle, somebody drops the ball and there's no accountability for that. So I'm pretty interested in the idea of having that transfer be visible to and subject to some oversight by ICANN. So I guess I'd push back a little bit on the notion that this can all be handled between registrars and registries without some standards that surround that.
Okay. A concern that I would have also, Barbara, I think I lean towards Mikey's position that we probably need to have some clarification here, because if a reseller, you know, the scenario we've set up, it's the names that they are the registrant for. Okay, that's straightforward. But in the case where the reseller also has its own customers, you know, and they are not necessarily the, they were never the registrar of record initially, obviously, as a reseller. But, you know, we could potentially have some names that they would also want to move into their new registrar of record. And, you know, I think we get back to, we're going to need to define some form of notification, et cetera, so that if they, in fact, want to move the names that they felt they were responsible for as the reseller, but not necessarily they were the registrant for all of them. Are folks seeing the sort of the cracks that some folks could fall through here? I don't know.
I mean, if there's a reseller. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Let's just imagine. You know, you have a reseller, which realistically could be a large ISP. Okay, and they have some number of domain names that they have for their own use, their own business use. All the rest are for their customers. Let's say a better example would be a web hosting company. And, you know, they may appear as, say, technical contact in the Whois records for the names, but that's it. If they decide to become, and do in fact become an accredited registrar, it seems reasonable for them to want to move all of the names that they have a relationship with into their new accredited registrar base. It seems to me they have a perfectly valid argument saying, well, the names that are their own, they're the registrant of record for, of course they can get moved. But what about all the others where they're supporting customers they'd want to move? Seems to me there we are talking about a partial bulk transfer term. The existing bulk transfer doesn't apply, or at least doesn't envision, and therefore we're back to the focus of this particular issue in our charter. Are there?
I would definitely agree that the traditional bulk transfer would not apply, but I think that this first one is probably the one that would be the most transparent to the actual registrant, because the registrant doesn't really realize that their relationship or that their registrar of record is the ICANN accredited registrar. They have their contracts with the reseller. I'm not saying that there shouldn't be a notification that is provided to them as part of it, but you know, if anything, I think this particular case would be, as I said, the most transparent, because their relationship is still going to be with the reseller. The only changes that are occurring in the database is the registrar of record, which would now recognize the reseller as an ICANN accredited registrar and show in the Whois at the registry level.
Okay. Others, thoughts on this, in particular the issue of, I guess it comes down to contracts, the relation, the contract that exists between the registrar and the reseller, who is now becoming a registrar. What about the contractual obligations between the, I guess we would call it the losing registrar record and the reseller? You know, of course, the losing registrar has its obligations to ICANN, particular consensus policy for transfer. getting back to, and I think there's general agreement that there will need to be some form of notification here. What else? Are there other things that we need to address, or are folks confident that the sort of the way we're sketching this out, that the registries already would have enough to work off of with the existing bulk transfer policy and notification? Or are there other things that we need to consider?
Paul, this is
James.
I just wanted to kind of comment a little bit on thinking about what Mike O'Connor recently said, as well as is that visibility and influence over the relationships between a registrar and its resellers is, to me, just seems like we're straying into a touchy issue with respect to ICANN. I don't know that I'm fully comfortable with some of the thoughts or suggestions that ICANN should sanction or control or manage or have standards in place with the different contracts between registrars and their resellers. I don't know, just a little nervous about some of those ideas.
Okay.
All of it, thinking aloud, I mean, so far, resellers are animals that don't exist from an ICANN perspective. I mean, there have been discussions about changing that, of course, but formally speaking, they're not there. Until, for example, when and the moment they become an accredited registrar. So the transition is, it's perhaps a tricky matter to identify what a non-existing entity, then turning into an existing entity, what sort of preconditions should be for this to be something to be vetted by ICANN. I think in the first place there would need to be some kind of recognition of the existence of resellers from a formal point of view for ICANN to take some kind of vetting role in that kind of transfer.
And I think, Olaf, you've said it much better. I apologize to the group. I have a little bit of a head cold, so I'm a little slow today. But it's the idea that the word reseller has no meaning, I think, within the context of ICANN. So anytime we build upon scenarios, I just think that perhaps staying away from that term and making sure that we're saying that when we say reseller, we're actually, you know, the onus is on the registrar of record at all times. And they do not pass down obligations to resellers. That that relationship is out of scope, I guess.
This is Mikey.
Hey, Mikey.
I think it may be a sequencing issue, and I may have confused matters a bit. I'm fine with the notion that resellers are invisible to ICANN in this context. I wasn't really attempting to get into that realm. What I'm trying to avoid is a situation where after the reseller has become a registrar, the contracts, the process is not subject to ICANN oversight. So, you know, as long as the relationship is between a reseller and a registrar, that's not really what I was thinking about. What I was thinking about is presumably the sequence would be that first the reseller becomes a registrar and then the transfer takes place. And I think it's that transfer and relying on contracts rather than ICANN policy that I'm worried about.
So from the perspective of the paradox that we're trying to wrestle with here is that from ICANN's perspective, that scenario is there's a brand new registrar that just blipped onto their radar screen, and there's going to be a transfer from an existing registrar to this new registrar. But from the perspective of the two registrars and the registrants, there's this incumbent relationship there that might involve or place new obligations for notification onto the gaining and losing registrars.
Right.
Is that?
And I think it's in the sequence. I think as soon as the reseller becomes a registrar, they blip on the screen and become subject to a new set of rules.
Yeah.
And that's, Barbara, what I heard you saying was that they would blip on the screen, but they wouldn't need to be subject to those rules. And that's what made me nervous.
But aren't they subject to those rules by virtue of the fact that they now are, sorry, this is Mark, I joined a little bit late, but aren't they now subject to all the rules since they are an accredited registrar?
Yeah, I think that's right. But
that would be my impression as well.
What I'm confused, Mikey, about what you're saying is I just don't see that they have any necessary right or ability, just because they're now a registrar, to transfer all those domain names over. They may have some ability in their contractual agreement with the ultimate registrant to do so, but I think, just by virtue of the fact that they happen to have been a reseller for a registrar and now they're a registrar, that doesn't give them any special status in my mind.
Well, that's where I was misunderstanding what Barbara was saying. Barbara, can you chime in and sort of clarify my misunderstanding? Because what I was hearing you saying was that in this circumstance, the registrar would blip on the screen, but then those existing contracts between registry, registrar, and reseller would guide the behavior rather than...
Well, they would have to, because all parties involved, as well as the domain name at issue, would still be subject to all the contractual provisions of the original agreement between the registrant and the reseller, which is now a registrar, as well as the reseller and the original registrar that it worked with. Just because all of a sudden now that reseller is a registrar doesn't change any of those contractual agreements.
That's exactly right.
Then I think I'm still nervous.
But there's nothing you can do about that. But they contractually bound themselves to these agreements, both the registrant and the reseller. And so now, just because they made a business decision to decide that they now want to be an accredited registrar, doesn't mitigate all these other contractual agreements they have just because they made this business decision. Every time a company makes a business decision, there are certain benefits and there are certain costs. The cost to them is they may have to wait until their existing contractual provisions are terminated. But just becoming accredited doesn't do anything to change these existing contractual agreements.
Well, the other thing to think about is just that a lot of this stuff has to do with, well, what's the sort of the boundary on those contractual arrangements. And most of these contracts have enough wiggle room and ability to, defer or prevent liability. But I look at this as more of a transitional question that the parties figure out themselves. I mean, that's not something that we should really worry about that much. Our main worry is what's the obligation of the registrar to ICANN. I mean, that should be the thing we focus on, and what these other private agreements are, although relevant to the discussion, shouldn't determine what our decision is going to be.
This is Mikey again. I think that let me see if I can clarify my concern. I think if the transfer takes place subject to the safeguards of ICANN's oversight of registrars, then I'm fine.
But it would have to, because all transfers between registrars are under the authority of ICANN.
Yeah, that's the definition of consensus policy. I mean,
right, and so then what I don't understand in Barbara's point is why that transfer wouldn't be subject to the partial bulk transfer stuff that we're working on.
Well, just because a transfer is subject to ICANN doesn't mean that it's necessarily eligible for a bulk transfer or that it is bulk transfer. I mean, those are two separate things. I mean, transfers happen every day that aren't part of bulk transfer.
Right. No. But what we're working on is this notion that in scenario one, that partial or bulk, I'm not clear on which one applies, but one or the other of those wouldn't apply. And I'm nervous about that. Seems to me that it should. That
all of here, I think it's, well, it's very unlikely that the bulk transfer, the full bulk transfer scenario would apply, because it's unlikely that the registrar of record, call it a losing registrar, would only have this reseller for a particular GTLD.
Right.
So it would be either transfers as they've always been, meaning that it calls for the registrant to, or admin contact to initiate it, or something else, which would then be the partial bulk transfer initiated by the newly born registrar.
Right. And I'm fine as long as that's the way we're doing it, as long as it's being subject to either existing ICANN policy with the registrant or the new one, partial bulk transfer, I'm fine. But what I'm not comfortable with is, no, this is all covered by existing contracts, and ICANN doesn't necessarily need to be involved. I'm very uncomfortable with that.
But there's no transfer that can take place that isn't under the purview of ICANN.
Yeah.
I mean, the question is, I mean, ultimately the transfer is subject to contractual provisions, because there's a question of, can the domain names even be transferred? That's subject to contractual obligations that, maybe in that agreement between the registrant and the reseller, the registrant gave the registrar the ability to, at will make a de facto transfer of all domain names, at its own decision. But otherwise, if the registrant didn't do that, then just because the reseller became a registrar, it can't just transfer the domain names. But once that transfer occurs, any transfer between two registrars is subject to ICANN authority and all the obligations between registrars and the registry.
Yeah, and that's back to my sequence thing. As long as the sequence is that the reseller becomes a registrar first, and then the transfers take place.
But how could it be any other way?
And it really has to, Mikey, because as we've gone over since the beginning of this particular working group, I mean, the charter question is, is there a need for partial bulk transfer terms, and then I underscore, between registrars?
Right.
That's a fundamental condition that has to exist.
But then I don't understand Barbara's point.
Maybe I can clarify. Right now, registries can only affect a transfer that is either initiated by a registrar in response to a submission by a registrant and providing the form of authorization, the standardized form of authorization under the bulk transfer policy, or not even bulk transfer, but just the transfer policy. And that would go through the normal course, where basically they could send individual transfer commands to the registry. And that would fall, very much under the IRTP. The other circumstance that we can transfer domain names is if we're instructed under Part B of the IRTP in a bulk fashion when approved by ICANN. And it's under those circumstances where basically a registrar is de-accredited or goes out of business. So those are the only two instances where we can do it. And in that fashion, then we basically just take all of the domain names from Registrar A and transfer them to Registrar B, which, of course, has to be another ICANN-accredited registrar, and we do that at the instruction of ICANN. Those are the only two instances where we can transfer domain names from one registrar to another. If you want to consider a partial bulk transfer, I think there needs to be some additional rules put in place within the transfer policy to govern that. But I don't know that we want to go into a lot of, it's okay in this case, this case, and this case. I think that at the end of the day, from a registry's perspective, what we're going to be looking for is that Registrar A, who is the registrar of record, agrees that you know, this X group of definite domain names, a definitive list of domain names, is to be transferred to Registrar B, and Registrar B agrees that that's the case. There may also need to be some provisions in there that require registrars to either have a blanket form of authorization from a registrant, if it's as a result of an offering that the registrar makes available to registrants to be able to manage their portfolios and transfer a whole or part of their portfolio from one registrar to another. Or, you know, it may be because in the first case that we're talking about that a reseller has now become accredited and, you know, would like to take their portfolio with them. But there, at the end of the day, there has to be agreement between the registrars that are involved. There has to be a definitive list of domain names. And I believe there also needs to be some sort of a notification to the impacted registrants. How the registrars want to roll out the various products that they may make available, or the types of relationships that they may have between a registrar and a reseller, you know, I think that that's going to have to be governed by those particular registrars.
I think ultimately it seems to me to be just a marketplace solution, because all that stuff can be done right now. I mean, at the end of the day, every registrant has a choice on, you know, which reseller or registrar it wants to work with. You know, maybe there isn't enough, as much knowledge out there as there should be, but the bottom line is, I mean, it's a free market, and they can choose whoever they want to, and they should, as educated consumers, take more interest into, you know, which vendors they're using. And in the same sense, you know, every reseller has a choice of which registrar it wants to work with. And so if you're a reseller who thinks you may want to become accredited in the future, then it would behoove you to search for a registrar that has a facility that will allow you to transfer domain names more easily once that happens. But I'm not sure the more you talk about this, the less I think that this is a policy issue.
In our existing draft right now, we do highlight market solutions already exist, to your point, Mark. In some of these scenarios, there may not be a policy concern here. There may already be an existing market solution that works within the rules that are currently in place.
Or if not an existing market solution, I mean, the possibility of creating one, which I think is just as valid.
I mean, Neustar went out and put in place their BTAPA, which is, you know, bulk transfer of a partial bulk transfer due to acquisition. So, you know, other registries could follow suit and do that same type of situation and put it out there as a new product or service, registry service, just as Neustar did. And I think that, you know, some of the registrars that are participating in this call also have solutions for portfolio holders to be able to manage their portfolios and help to facilitate the transfer if they want to take their portfolio from one registrar to another. So, you know, I think there are market forces, but if we're looking to do it, you know, using the bulk transfer tool that registries have available to affect the full bulk transfer as instructed by ICANN, then, like I said, there's just going to be some rules that we would need to know, and there may very well be a price that registries would want to charge for that.
Okay, so it's been an interesting trajectory on this call. We seem to be we've come around, kind of come way back to a position which was held much earlier in this working group's efforts, that perhaps between market solutions and in some of the scenarios we've listed, if the existing bulk transfer terms already apply, then maybe we don't need to continue with policy work. This is not a policy issue.
This is Mikey.
Okay, Mikey.
I really want to strenuously disagree.
Okay.
I think the problem with this particular call is that we are all over the map on this particular topic. I mean, we started with my reaction to Barbara's first description, which I can't recreate because I didn't understand it, but it was quite different. At least it sounded quite different than Barbara's second version. And then that's what took us off on that trajectory. So I really want to strenuously disagree that we're stepping all the way back to the beginning, because I certainly don't feel that way.
Fair enough.
This is Michael Kama.
Yes, Mike.
I would agree that if you look at these five scenarios, you will see that many of them are not covered by the full bulk transfer, and that the regular transfer involves a completely different fee structure. So I think that there is a reason to consider these scenarios. I think I understand, Barbara, but I'm not sure, and that we don't necessarily need to spell out these scenarios in any policy that we suggest, but that we might just consider them as a tool for creating that policy.
That is the point that I was trying to make, and I am sorry that if I was unclear in that.
This is Mikey. I'm fine with that approach. What I don't want to do is launch a lot of domains in transfers that registrants can't control. So I'll just leave that inflammatory statement on the table and let's get back to work.
Okay. And it's a fair statement, not inflammatory, Mikey. And I was by no means trying to push the group in a particular direction. It just seemed that's where discussion had taken us today, and agree. Let's try and focus, get back. If Michael Collins, I agree with you. I think looking at the list of scenarios we have, our second and our fifth, what we're talking about, partial bulk between registrars is number two. And basically the scenario, conceptualized that for whatever reason, a registrar is no longer going to sell domains for the TLD in question. Therefore, they want to move those particular the domains in that particular TLD space. Scenario number five, it's following a deaccreditation of a registrar. Both of those scenarios, two and five, it seems, are covered under the existing bulk terms. That leaves us with the three and any other subsets that we may have. So, it does seem like there's plenty more for us to look at in terms of partial bulk terms. I guess the fundamental question we have is sort of what's been just mentioned. Do we try and address this in the construct of some particular scenarios that we highlight, or can we come up with just some fundamental terms that would govern or apply in a partial bulk transfer scenario? And again, I guess one thing that needs to be made explicit and looking for group's thoughts on this, when we're talking about partial bulk, I mean, we are talking about the scenario like on a bulk transfer where the expiration date is not moved and there is no new registration fee added to the transaction, correct? As opposed to existing market services that are out there, where a registrar will assist a registrant in putting together a master list of all the names, but when those names are transferred, they are done under the regular transfer policy. A year or however many years the registrant wants are added, and the appropriate registry fees and any other fees by the registrar are added. So when we're talking about partial, if we continue down the path, it's under the understanding that this is for this handles the names in much the way the bulk does, i.e., there is no extension of the term and there is no assessment of a new registry fee. Is that correct?
This is what I think we should be considering. I agree with Michael Collins again.
I agree with that as well. As far as the standard pricing for a transfer would not be an applicable registration fee. Like I said, there may be, as in the case of Neustar, where there is $1,000 or 20 cents a domain name administrative type fee.
Right. Good.
The registrar may want to charge a fee as well, I think.
Sure.
Possibly.
Right.
We've touched on that before and absolutely agree. But just so that we're all on the same page here, if we continue talking about partial bulk, the understanding is that these names that get moved under these terms would look like a bulk transfer, i.e., the expiration date doesn't change, and there is no annual registration fee assessed.
Mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is Mikey Onan on that.
Okay.
This is Mark. I totally agree with that standard. However, I question whether there's any need for any policy basis for enabling Scenario 3.
Okay. Why don't we look at 3 then? If you all have in front of here we were talking about a partial bulk transfer in the case of a, in parentheses, a partial merger or acquisition involving a registrar. In other words, we're saying as a result of a partial merger or acquisition by a registrar, a number, but not all, domain names are transferred to the new registrar. And I have to note, I am reading this from our original posting, not from Mike Rodenbaugh's edits, and I think Mike actually clarified this a bit. Okay, for at least for number 3, we didn't have any changes, but fair enough. I'd rather read off of the one that we've had some discussion on our list about. Okay, Mark, so you know the concern here is that you don't feel that this is an appropriate policy question? Policy issue?
No, again, I think this is a market question. I mean, I think policy decisions have many ramifications, and they should be done only, you know, really when necessary. And again, I don't see the necessity of enabling companies to do this for free. I mean, this is, again, it's a market issue. It's a business decision. If you are a registrar and you decide to merge with another registrar or to buy another registrar, then why should we make a policy decision to enable you to do that for free? There's a cost to doing that, like there is in every other business decision, and like there are business and market solutions to solve this issue.
I don't think anyone said this, Michael Collins. I don't think anyone said that this would necessarily be required to be free. I think that we've talked about the registry having fees and possibly registrars also having fees.
No, but I mean, I don't see any reason why the registrars should be able to take advantage of this policy, this process for free, or why should we even create this process? If a registry wants to create that process and to charge for it, they can do that. But other than that, right now, if two registrars want to merge, I mean, there's a way that they can merge their portfolios. I mean, it may involve some cost or waiting until the domain names expire or some manual work, but I mean, there are ways that they can accomplish this. I don't think it's a community as a whole problem that there's maybe not the most efficient way to do it.
I don't think there is. I don't think registrars can initiate a transfer even at expiration. I think registrars have to do that.
But again, that would seem to me to be a registrar problem and not a community problem. I mean, there's ways that registrars can handle it. They can send notification to their registrants and say that once their current term expires, they're not going to be servicing them anymore and they have to transfer. I mean, there's ways that this can be accomplished.
Michael, and following up on Mark's point, just to play, you know, sort of the devil advocate role here, there clearly exist market solutions. You know, we've already put it in our working draft for the initial report. You know, registrars will assist registrants in sort of collecting and doing all the work for a traditional transfer. And so if there is, you know, this merger, acquisition, whatever is going on, there are services that can help move whatever base of names need to be moved, again, under a traditional transfer, so that there will be a year added or however many years and the corresponding registry fees for that. What would the thinking be? Why would if we're searching around for partial bulk transfer terms in Scenario 3, why, just help us think through, why would a registrar want to do this in the, if you will, the free scenario? Not change the date, avoid the fee. You know, if there could be less than a year left on the name. I'm just trying to understand, are we creating a hypothetical here that might not really even come into play in the real world? And even if it comes up, it's more likely going to be addressed by an existing market solution. Question for anybody.
This is Kevin. It seems to me that the main reason to have anything for Scenario 3 would be because of a registrar that, for whatever reason, had to go out of business, had to transfer its domains to another registrar, but the you know, let's say its solution was to buddy up with Registrar A, which is only accredited in, you know, the domains of 80% of its holdings, so it needs to do a partial bulk transfer for option A, and then needs to find some other registrar in the other domain spaces for the other 20% of their portfolio. You know, and if that's the case, you know, that sounds more like a, you know, a business scenario. That's their problem to figure it out and to, you know, make appropriate provisions. The only way that it wouldn't be is if it was one of these things where the registrar was just going out of business and really ceased to function.
But if they were going out of business and ceased to function, wouldn't the existing bulk
transfer terms
yeah. cover that?
I would think that they do.
Yeah, I'm confident they would.
Mikey, I think also even the scenario that you were describing would be covered because of the conversation we had right at the top of the call where we said that we thought...
We believe bulk applies to the names within a particular space.
Within a GTLD, yeah.
Yeah, so... Please, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I think that if you really get right down to it, some of these scenarios are just more specific examples of scenario two. So really, you could probably eliminate everything except scenario two and scenario four. Yeah.
When it's, well, I mean, we're limiting scenarios. I mean, scenario four seems like...
Well, no, I'm just saying that scenario three is only is just a more specific example of scenario two. If scenario two is general enough and wide enough that it can encompass three or five.
Oh no, I agree with you. I agree with you. I'm just saying that, you know, maybe then we should only look at scenario two because I think, you know, of all the scenarios, scenario four is probably the one that is best served and is being served by the marketplace.
Okay.
So maybe I suppose that we just, you know, focus almost solely on scenario two.
Yeah. Let's do that just to, if nothing else, go in order. So if we go back to two, two has been laid out. It's a, again, transfer between registrars. You know, registrar A decides to move a certain number of names to another registrar. The question is that Mike's posed for us is, you know, for any reason. We do have to consider, should registrars be able to move the registrar's registrations at their own whim?
Or can they? I don't think they even can under the current regime.
Well, we did discuss in last week's call, I know like in our own case, we have in our service agreement a notification period. I believe it's at least 30 days notice. You know, so we notify the registrar if we were no longer going to offer a particular service. And having looked at some of the other large registrars, they have similar terms. The amount of time differs. But the in the service agreement, the registrars have that ability to, if they're no longer going to offer a particular service, to provide notice, and then, you know, at the end of that time period, can take the action that they had alerted. So,
but is it only if they're no longer going to provide that service, or is it for any reason?
In our case, it's for provision of service, but I think that would fit in with the scenario that we're discussing. You know, we said that they're no longer going to sell domain names in the GTLD in question, i.e. no longer provide service for that TLD.
You could imagine many other reasons as well.
But so under that existing scenario, they could just choose whichever registrar they wish and then transfer those domain names to that registrar, correct?
At least in our case, after the notification
period. After the notification period. And so then at that point, the registrant would be charged whatever registration fee the new registrar...
You see, and that's what I'm...
I guess that's the question, you know, how exactly can one registrar transfer a domain to another registrar and accept the registration agreement on behalf of the registrant?
Okay.
Is there something in your agreement which basically says that you appoint us as your agent to accept the registration agreement with another registrar should we decide to not provide services in this TLD anymore?
That I would have to check, but at least within the scenario that, you know, as we've currently framed it, scenario two here, we're saying because there's agreement to no longer sell the names in the TLD in question. And if that's the, you know, if the issue here or the question is they're no longer serving, aren't we back? I thought we said earlier, isn't this under the bulk? This would fall under the bulk transfer, existing bulk transfer rules? Because that TLD space, you know, we've agreed all those names can be moved en masse from Registrar A to Registrar B because Registrar A is no longer going to be providing service in that space.
This is Mikey.
Yeah, Mikey.
Paul, I think you're right. The scenario you're describing where you're getting out of a GTLD I think is covered by scenario by the bulk transfer stuff. But I don't think that is the same thing as what's being proposed in this scenario 2.
Scenario 2 is using that just as an example of basically any reason. Suppose the registrar just decided they didn't want to service a geographic area like China, and they sold those customers to a China registrar.
I mean, I would say in that situation, it's not appropriate for the bulk transfer process to be utilized. That's a problem for that registrar, which uses to breach its agreement with those customers. That's the registrar's problem.
It might not be a breach, depending on their contract.
Maybe it won't be.
I don't know. I'm not saying it is or it isn't. I'm just saying I don't know.
No, exactly. You know, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, and that really depends on the contract. But that seems to be their problem, like their issue, not really the community's issue.
Now, the question before the group, of course, is: all right, if the bulk transfer terms would not apply, our fundamental charter question is, should there be provisions for a partial bulk transfer? And if so, does this working group believe that, you know, we should craft terms that would enable a partial bulk transfer? Use that example, you know, the geographic region and moving it to a registrar in that region.
I mean, how often do these things really occur? I mean, I think we're stretching here to think of these possible scenarios, which are, you know, very, very rare. I mean, I just don't even know if there's ever been a situation for any of these scenarios. If there has, maybe there's been one, and to make a huge policy decision and create new policy for a scenario that's never happened or that it's happened one time, and if it did happen, it would happen incredibly rarely. That doesn't seem to me to be particularly wise, especially when a policy change could have huge ramifications. I mean, it seems to me that these, like making a policy change and allowing a partial bulk transfer would be most helpful to the biggest registrars who have numerous registrars that are related entities and they'd be able to move names back and forth. For any other situation, I just don't know that there's really, I'm not seeing personally an incredible need, which is not to say that there isn't one, but...
I'm just saying
I'm not seeing the need here, you know, really in any of these scenarios, and the few more concrete things as examples that we've come up with, like I said, I don't think it ever happened and seem quite unlikely.
I wonder why Neustra went through the trouble of doing a market service for this thing.
From what I understand, Neustra has received, I think, a request from two registrars who were interested, and I don't believe that they've actually put in place, but they've actually used the services yet.
Thank you.
Paul, this is James.
Yeah, James.
Unfortunately, I'm going to have to drop off the call, so...
Yeah, I'm looking at the time, too. Please go ahead, though.
Or thank you.
Just to say?
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Very good, James. Everyone, we are almost at the top of the hour, so perhaps it's a good point just to put a pause on the discussion. Again, the last three calls have been very, very substantive and appreciate everybody's time. Question for the group, though, is that, you know, we are effectively pushing into the beginning of December now, and we've provided through our liaison an update to the board, to the council on the status of our discussions. You know, we've been having a lot of good debate back and forth, but I'm not sure we're really at a point yet where we can start putting some of these ideas down, committing these thoughts to the initial report. There's, you know, certainly we want to take as much time as we need to do this, you know, thoroughly, properly, make sure everybody's views are heard. At the same time, we do want to get our initial report together, posted, so that we can start the comment period. Obviously, as we have in the past, in parallel, while we're waiting for those comments to come back in from the community and the constituencies, we can continue our debate. And then, of course, it will be guided even further once those comments are received. I guess the question for the group is, you know, with the calendar we're looking at, our next call will be the 2nd of December. Do we think that we need, can we make a judgment at this point? Do we need more than another call or two to keep hashing this out? Do folks feel that we're coming anywhere near some general conclusions about when and where partial bulk transfer terms may be applied? If so, then, you know, we need to kind of thrash them out in a following call. We'd just like to have a clearer sense of where the group feels it stands right now, because honestly, I'm not getting a strong vibe, and I really would, my only concern is I don't want this to sort of become an unending debate session, week after week, raising great ideas, having good discussions, but not necessarily seeing any light at the end of the tunnel. So
this is Mark. I can only speak for myself, but I mean, at this point, I feel that I've come to the conclusion that at this time there's no need for partial bulk transfer, and that the existing scenario of bulk transfer handles any likely scenario.
Okay.
And I don't know that there's necessarily agreement on that, but I personally would be willing to stick by that.
This is Michael Collins.
I think that
maybe we should decide whether to agree with Mark or not to agree with Mark as the first step, because it would certainly save a lot of time if we all agreed with Mark, and we wouldn't then need to spend so much time deciding how to craft a policy, and then later maybe or spend more weeks more trying to decide how a policy should be worded, and then end up possibly deciding that Mark is right.
Okay, let's do this just so that it also makes it easier for staff, because they'll see it in writing. I'm going to put that question to the list and would ask everybody to weigh in on the question, generally framed that, you know, there's, you know, belief amongst some that you know, we don't need to continue further discussing partial bulk terms, that existing bulk transfer terms will apply in those applicable situations, otherwise let the existing market solutions deal with it. And that maybe in the response, if you feel that we do need to continue discussing, to highlight in your response what particular issues we want to really focus on. That will probably help us so that we don't have quite such freewheeling discussion on the 2nd in any time moving forward, and that we can begin to really focus on the text that we're going to use in our draft report. Okay. So with that, I will get that out to everybody, and encourage everybody, please, to weigh in. Opportunity, really, for everyone to also underscore what else they want to focus on as we move towards getting that final draft ready. Wish everybody, certainly in the U.S., a very happy holiday weekend, and we will meet again this same time next Tuesday. And obviously, any other questions, concerns, whatnot, use the list, reach out to Marika or I directly, and we'll talk to you all next Tuesday.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you all once again.
Bye-bye.
Bye.